Good morning. I always feel like in Michigan in the winter we should acknowledge when the sun shines. The sun is shining. It feels so good. Welcome. We're glad you're here worshiping with us, whether you're in the space or with us online. I want to draw your attention to the Lenten reflections you're finding in your bulletin each week. Our Board of Music and Arts has been offering a reflection, sometimes with an image, sometimes with a poem, sometimes with both. So notice that in your bulletin this week and in the weeks to come. We're getting those on social media too, so you can catch it there on Mondays. Wanted to let you know that there was a wonderful article written about Pastor Stacy. Want to make sure you get a chance to see that in MLive. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, please do. It's a wonderful celebration, too, of our life and ministry here together at First Baptist. So I hope you can check that out. This Friday at noon, we have another incredible opportunity to be present with one another and to listen to beautiful music at the Ad Libitum concert. That's this Friday at noon. You'll find information in your bulletin about that. Harpsichord and organ and violin. Those are incredible times. So I feel a little speechless about them, but you should come. I'll say that. Come on Friday at noon. You'll also find in your bulletin a whole bunch of information about Holy Week, which is coming up. You have your insert with the hymns. At the back, you'll see all the services we have for Holy Week. I want to draw your attention to two specific ones that are a little bit different this year than we've done in the past. One is on Thursday of Holy Week, we're going to have a service with a simple soup supper on Maundy Thursday, as well as foot washing, a chance to embody the story of Jesus' meal with his friends. And so we invite you to attend that. That'll be an intergenerational worship experience in the fellowship hall with a meal and foot washing. It'll be great. So if you are interested in being a partner with me in planning that service, connect with me. I'd love to hear your ideas and work with you on that. And then our Good Friday community service is happening. It's shifting a little bit. In the past, it was three separate services in a row. This year, we're doing it together. So the service starts at noon. We're in the planning stages of that. We hope that you will join us for that service. And then we have Tenebrae and, of course, Easter Sunday. And an Easter egg hunt. So there are two things related to Easter I want to mention this morning, which is one is Easter lilies. You'll find information about that in the bulletin if you want to purchase an Easter lily in honor of or in memory of someone. You can do that online at fbca2.org/connect, where everything is. Or you can fill out the form and get that in the offering plate or to Kat. And next week we will have bags of Easter eggs ready to be filled. And so if you like to be an Easter bunny, you can fill those Easter eggs with treats too. So more on that. All right. Our last thing is that Pastor Heather is preaching this morning, and then she is taking a flight out of town to go back home for this week. She's on a three-quarter allotment right now. And so this week she has off. We are grateful for the ways she has shepherded us over the last few weeks. And so she will be heading out for a flight that happens quite quickly after church. So when you see her leave, don't worry. I got you for the peace and the benediction. So, we have the privilege of hearing Dick Bowser preach next Sunday. So Dick, thanks for joining us in that way. All right. I think those are all of our announcements to begin our time together. We are here gathered together so that we can worship God. Some of us are here for the music, some for the friends, some for the cookies and coffee. And we are all here because of God. Now is the time to give thanks, to unload our hearts, to share our lives, and to hear the story again. So friends, let us worship.
Please stand if you are able. Let's pray. Loving Creator, we appreciate your beautiful and intricate world. Open our hearts and minds to love and care for all of your creation. Today, teach us how to be servants of you through love, kindness, and courage. Amen. Let's sing together now, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and we will be singing the first four verses.
Amen. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the Lord. O God, for the gift of this day, we thank you for creating a world, a universe of beauty and wonder beyond our ability to measure, count, or comprehend, and for counting us precious within it, we thank you. We are grateful for your living word, for your visible, steadfast love made known to us in our coming together here and in so many other ways. We thank you for your healing presence, for memory, laughter, worship, work, tears, and all the other gifts that help to carry us through dark times. Surprise us with the gifts of hope and imagination that plant seeds in broken places and bring good out of what is not good. When we are distracted or distraught, let us not be afraid to look for you in silence. When we see others in need, help us to be generous and kind. Where systems and institutions cause harm, give us courage to stand against them. Where there is violence, let us speak and act boldly for peace. Where people are discounted and disrespected, let us be the ones who show your love for everyone created in your image, every one. Let us take good care of this earth, for the water, the soil, the air, every living creature and element. Help us to repair and replenish what we have harmed and neglected. Give us wisdom and confidence to walk where you lead us. For these whom we know to name, we ask for your tender, loving care. For Jill Damon, Mary Margaret Hatt, Betty Gersler, Deb Levine, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen, Grange Burnside, Fran Van Ostal, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Allison Lavelle, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Jackie. Hear now the yearnings, the confessions, the hopes of our hearts in silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you. Please stand if you are able and let us sing together.
To the Ephesians. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything is exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Children, I invite you to come forward. Come join me up here. Different ways of naming someone who did such amazing things and someone who said such wonderful things that people followed him. Do you know who that was? Jesus. And we hear all these different ways of talking about Jesus today. One way we hear Jesus being called. Do any of you walk with one of these?
Shepherd.
A shepherd's crook? Yeah. Allie, would you pretend to be a shepherd today? Would you come stand over here? But you don't want to? You don't have to. You can always say no. Who feels like being a shepherd? Okay, Lyra, would you do it? And I'm going to have you do something else. All right, Lyra's going to be a shepherd here, but now Lyra's pretending to be, well, she's showing us one of the ways we talk about Jesus, a shepherd. And don't you think we should have a little sheep next to her? Uh-huh, let's have a little sheep. Yeah, let's see. Allie, are you feeling like you're up for being a sheep? Okay. You were a sheep in a play once. Well, this is perfect. So we're going to put a little sheep head on you. And would you go and just on your hands and knees by Lyra? So we hear that Jesus, who we follow, is described as a shepherd. What does a shepherd do for the sheep? Watches over them, makes sure they're safe, makes sure they have what they need. Sometimes the shepherd has to redirect them, which means the shepherd has to say, no, sheep, you're going the wrong way. Go this way. Yeah. All right. Then we also hear, in the reading Emmanuel shared from the New Testament, we hear, and you have seen us say this before too, that the person, Jesus, who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things, that one way to call him is the what? The light. Yeah, you know, you guys have this in your heart and your beings. The light. So Emmanuel, he read about Paul sharing with all of the people who were following Jesus that Jesus is the light. Piper, would you hold this over here for us? Another way to think about Jesus is the light. What does light help us do? Helps us see. Helps us see the way. It said, don't do rotten things in the dark. Instead, talk about what is good. Help each other know how to make good choices. That's what it looks like to follow the light. And then we sang a really fabulous hymn that calls Jesus the King of Love. Would anybody like to wear a crown? Anna, would you wear a crown for Jesus, the King of Love? And then let's wrap you in this red blanket to think about wrapping in love, and kind of it looks like a king or a queen or somebody in royalty, anybody in royalty. Okay, great. Would you stand back by Lyra so we can see you too? Okay, so, what do you think a King of Love is about? Love. A King of Love is about love. Can you do that thing where we all make our little heart with our fingers? Our hands? Yeah. Love. Oh, I love these images of Jesus. Jesus as the shepherd who helps the sheep know the way. Jesus as the light who helps us see. Jesus, the King of Love. It's all about the love. The love helps us know the way. Shepherd, light, love. Can we be about that together? Yeah, good. Hey, will you repeat after me as we pray together? Maybe let's pretend you're a sheep for the first part. Can you put your hands like sheep ears? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Can you say Good Shepherd? Yeah. Jesus. Oh, now can you pretend like you're holding a light as we say this next part, like Piper's holding a candle? God, we thank you for Jesus, the light. Can you say, the light?
The light.
Light, yeah. And Jesus, we are glad that you are also the King of Love. Can you say, King of Love?
King of Love.
Ooh, we want to follow you. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Next to the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23 is the most memorized passage in the Bible. More than any other scripture, it comforts people walking through the hardest places and moments of our lives. How remarkable that words written thousands of years ago on the other side of the earth by a shepherd and son of a shepherd should speak to us still. This is what we mean by living word. When David wrote this psalm, everybody he knew would have had an intimate understanding of the sheep and the shepherd metaphor. They knew the ways of sheep and shepherds. Today, here in Ann Arbor, not so much. But even though I know little about shepherds or sheep, more familiar with sheep dogs, somehow these words manage to touch a deep place. Some years ago, struggling with anxiety and insomnia, instead of counting sheep, it was this psalm about the shepherd that I memorized. And it helped. Once in a hospital, sitting with a family by the deathbed of a young mother, we said this psalm together, and it helped. I did meet a real shepherd once. Years ago, I was backpacking in the Colorado Rockies with friends, and we were switchbacking on a trail out of a long valley when all of a sudden this man appeared out of nowhere. He was lean and weather-beaten. He had a face like leather, dark, deep lines, stubbly. His hair was wild. His clothes were ragged. He spoke with a heavy accent we did not understand or recognize. And when he smiled, which he did often, we could count all his teeth on one hand. He had a couple of dogs and a little covered wagon pulled by a horse. He looked and smelled as if he had been living with sheep all summer, which of course he had. He was from the Basque country in the Pyrenees at the border of Spain and France, hired and brought over by Colorado ranchers to shepherd their livestock in the lush, high pastures of the Rockies. The ranchers used these men because they knew sheep. And if a definition of love is wanting the best for another, they loved their sheep, loved them enough to live with them. This shepherd knew that sheep were essentially helpless in the backcountry. They got hungry, sick, nervous, stuck, lost, attacked. Kind of like us. Before I came back to Ann Arbor a few weeks ago to be with you for this interim time, I heard something about a little ice storm. A church member was trying to organize a meeting, and she sent out an email that began, "We are among the powerless." It's not just ice, is it? Putting it in different words, Howard Thurman, theologian, author, civil rights leader, said, "I am depending too utterly on my own strength. I act as if my knowledge were complete and my own power sufficient. I forget to remember that God is my strength and the source of the power without which no thing is really possible. There is strength in God sufficient for my needs, whatever they may be. Everything the sheep need, the shepherd knows and provides for them. Everything they fear, the shepherd knows and protects them against. Philip Keller actually was a sheep rancher who wrote a classic called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. His ranch adjoined one that was operated by a tenant farmer, and the neighbor's stock were always thin and sickly. They had parasites, they were dirty, and they would come to the fence and stare blankly through the wire at the green pastures that Keller's flocks were enjoying. They were living in brown pastures, longing for green pastures. Now, every metaphor has its limits. Real sheep can't just cross the fence. They don't get to decide which shepherd to follow. But we can. We can choose the shepherd that we will follow, who has, in fact, already chosen us. But let's be careful here, because not everyone who stands up and says, "I'm the good shepherd," is. And it's very easy to follow people these days. The Kardashians, for example, they seem to have a lot of followers. And so also conspiracy theorists and many others who would qualify as thieves and bandits who steal, kill, and destroy, in the words of John chapter 10. Worst of all, when the church fails to choose the good shepherd and preaches and waves signs on busy street corners full of hate and judgment and condemnation. The so-called Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas comes painfully to mind. Nothing like what a real Baptist is supposed to be about. And many other churches across all denominations that wound and exclude in the name of Christ. We want that abundant life, don't we? And we'll follow sometimes anyone or anything to get it. Money, power, appearance, popularity, busyness, alcohol, competition, stuff. But those things, seems like they do at first, but they never lead to abundant life. Just the opposite. They stand at the gate, but they are not the good shepherd. In the book of John, Jesus takes the words of this beautiful psalm and says, "I am the good shepherd, who comes that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly." Now, you know, life is a really favorite theme throughout the Gospels. And especially in John, it comes again and again all through John. And the root word brings together both the idea of eternal life, which is the life that goes beyond this life that we know, our natural life, but also, and even more, a wide awake, overflowing, abundant life right now. And so you'll see that same word translated two different ways, sometimes eternal life, sometimes abundant life. The good shepherd leads to life, all of it. Like a shepherd in the Rocky Mountains, the good shepherd lives among us, indwelling God. God is beyond thought, beyond human ability to capture in any metaphor. But God can be encountered in place and time, right here. This good shepherd may not look like the one in the children's Bible, You know, with that lovely blue robe and shiny shoulder-length hair and a nice staff and a little lamb at his side and flowers. No dogs, though. I always have wondered about that. But the real good shepherd might look scary or surprise you or ask you to do something you've not done before. But you will know it's the good shepherd if you are led to green pastures and still waters, if there is healing and wholeness, if there is light in the dark, if there is goodness and kindness. If, in poet Mary Oliver's words, you are led to go easy and to be filled with light and to shine. Or, in the words of the extravagantly tattooed, pierced, and otherwise radical, outspoken, and unconventional pastor and blogger, Nadia Bowles Weber, I'm a big fan, the Good Shepherd helps us turn away from our self-obsessed lives, the tyranny of our petty resentments and annoyances, toward a life of compassion and love and service to others, recognizing that no matter what we do, it's the how we do it that matters. And then back to Ephesians, the last words of that text that Emmanuel read. Sleeper, awake! Rise from the dead. We can be a dead while we're still alive, you know. Christ will shine. It looks like that comes from an early Christian baptismal hymn. And it's perfect for Lent and just right for this time in our church. A call to let go of whatever is less than thin, gruel, destructive, small, or stands in the way of what is good and right and true, which is to say, God. Back when I lived in Chicago, the minister of my church was standing tall for racial justice in a day when cities were burning, including a neighborhood close to our church. He lived in a nice big house in Tony Wheaton, a suburb way out. He decided to move to a neighborhood close to the church and live there, where there was threat of violence every day. He not only preached his convictions, he lived them. And I thought, this is a life worth living. Choose the good shepherd. Back to John. Near the end of his life, Jesus is teaching his disciples and trying to prepare them for the days coming soon when he will not be there in a physical presence anymore. And noticing as he talks that many in the crowd have dropped off. They've chosen what is easier, familiar, safer. And so Jesus asks the 12, are you going to leave me too? Peter says, well, where would we go? You are the one with the words of abundant life. And we have come to believe and we've come to know that you are who you say you are. The Holy One of God, the Good Shepherd. We often read this beautiful, comforting psalm in times of trouble and dying and death. Today, let us read it for living and life. follow a good shepherd who gives. As we are able, let us do that too.
Thank you.
Danny Jones offering us the peace and love of Christ each day, calls us in the office and here on Sunday mornings. So as Danny does, I say to you, siblings, may the peace and love of Christ be with you. May we pass the peace to one another. I now offer you a benediction as we begin to wrap up our time here worshiping together. Blessed is the path on which you travel. Blessed is the body that carries you upon it. Blessed is your heart that has heard the call. Blessed is your mind that discerns the way. Blessed is the gift that you will receive by going. Truly blessed is the gift that you will become on the journey. May you go from this place with the peace of Christ. Amen.